Indie Media Global Report on Resonance FM 104.4. Check out www.indiemedia.org.uk.
In a democracy, the ignorant and meddlesome outsiders, the general population, have to be kept from interfering. They can be spectators, but not participants.
No matter how much legal action you put behind this, people are going to do what they want to do.
Spectators, but not participants.
All before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome.
It's time to talk about censorship.
On Wednesday the 12th of March, a call through to IMEMC office at around 6:45. Four men from Bethlehem assassinated in an Israeli undercover operation. Arrive at Beit Jala Hospital, the ambulance area crammed with 1,000 people, crying and wailing, incoherent with anger and grief. The four bodies are carried out, borne by young men. Masses of people follow, shouting with extraordinary intensity. The dead men, wrapped in bloodstained blankets, are then paraded through the streets of Bethlehem, a spontaneous protest at their assassination. People stare bleakly. Some are weeping in huddles against walls. Women relatives of the victims hurry through the crowds into the hospital interior, their faces soaked with tears. The protest returns. The victims are carefully laid down at the entrance to the morgue, their faces caressed, held, and kissed. The living hold each other up, as if to say, be strong, we love you. There is much unity in this grief. Unity is all that can be expressed at times like this. The four killed were identified as Mohammed Shahada, Imada Kamal, Issa Marzouk, and Hamid Ababul, all from Bethlehem. Israeli troops wearing civilian clothes, driving a civilian car, ambushed the four in a Bethlehem suburb, killing them. Israel claims the four were wanted. Shahada Marzouk and El Kamal are said to be members of the Islamic Jihad, while Al-Babul is said to be a Fatah member. Marzouk is an elected member of the Bethlehem municipality since May 2005. Meanwhile, Shahada ran as an independent candidate for the parliamentary elections of January 2006. Imad El-Kamal's father said, "This shows that Israel does not want peace. This is the nature of the Israeli army. Very racist and very violent. The killing of my son and his friends shows that Israel does not want peace." National and Islamic political groups in the city of Bethlehem have announced 2 days of mourning. On Thursday of last week, the Israeli army attacked the house of Mohammed Shahada in an attempt to capture him. Troops surrounded the house for several hours. When soldiers realized that Shahada was not in the house, they set fire to the house and demolished it. Thursday the 13th of March, the four men's funeral takes place. It starts at Manger Square. There is a massive, absolutely massive demonstration. There are about 20,000 people in Manger Square, filling up Manger Square. There's just people everywhere, and people are just marching down the hills. It's a massive show of solidarity. People are much calmer than they were when they were outside the hospital, but nonetheless, they are there, they're marching. And they're marching for miles, they're marching for 4 kilometres outside of Bethlehem to the cemetery where the four men will be buried. It's mostly men. Manger Square is just completely full. If I look across Manger Square, I can just see just crowds and crowds of people. Towards the back of Manger Square, from where I'm standing, is the mosque, and towards my left is the Church of the Nativity. But everyone's here. It's mostly men here. It's mostly men that have come to lay the assassinated this is partly, I think, because women are not allowed into the cemetery here. There are some women on the steps and they're praying, lots of people are crying. People are bringing in the bodies of the dead. They're laying them down under a type of cloisters. Everyone's kissing them goodbye. The crowds are incredible. I'm trying to get in to take some pictures and take some video. It's very, very hard to get in close. Left the main square now and I'm waiting around the corner for the procession to come. The procession is coming, it's coming downhill, it's incredible. People are holding up the bodies of the dead men. Some are shouting, some are angry, some are just walking in silence. The targeted assassinations which Israel carries out against people it says are wanted and says are terrorists are very, very rare in Bethlehem. They're much fewer. In other cities in the West Bank, targeted assassinations occur very, very regularly, particularly in Jenin and particularly in Nablus, to the north of the West Bank. For this to happen in Bethlehem, it's shocked everybody. Everyone's very numb with grief. When the news came into the IMEMC office, the International Middle East office, everyone here was crying because I think they fear that the situation will get very bad in Bethlehem again. Obviously, Bethlehem suffered a 40-day siege in 2000. I think these kinds of events, these kinds of assassinations, not only do people lose their citizens, it's also the fear that Israel is going to make things really hot in Bethlehem. As I say, Bethlehem has been relatively quiet over recent years. Not completely quiet, there are still arrests and invasions, and last week reported on the show that Mohammed Shahada, who was assassinated on Wednesday, had his house demolished. The question I keep asking myself is, if men are wanted, why aren't they brought to trial? what is going on, that these arbitrary death sentences can just be carried out, that an undercover operation can go into the West Bank and just shoot four men in a car. If they're wanted, if they're terrorists, surely there should be a court process. We're not seeing any court process, we're seeing extrajudicial killings. And as I say, I'm looking at just 20,000 people just walking over the hills, and as we process onto the cemetery, there's people coming from all directions. It's an incredible tribute to the people who were murdered. That's about all I want to say about this. It's just, this is Penny Quinton reporting from Occupy Bethlehem, which today feels very, very much occupied.
This week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for March 8th through to March 14th, 2007. As 10 Palestinians killed by Israeli army fire this week, the Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas accused the Israeli Defense Minister Ehud Barak of obstructing peace talks. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Let's begin our weekly report with the non-violent actions in the West Bank. IMEMC's Mary Firth with the details.
Dozens of residents of Bilin, a village near Ramallah, took to the streets on Friday in their weekly demonstration, protesting against the illegal confiscation of village land through Israel's continued expansion of the war. The residents were also joined by many international and Israeli peace activists. Israeli troops manning a gate in the wall that cuts the village off from their land showered the protesters with tear gas and rubber-coated steel bullets as soon as the protesters arrived at a military barricade nearby. In addition, when the protesters moved back to the village, Israeli troops attacked them at the entrance with rifle butts and batons. Eyewitnesses told IMEMC that soldiers also sprayed the eyes of the peace protesters with pepper spray. In total, six people were injured, among them a freelance European journalist known as Tom. Iran, an Israeli activist who was also shot in the leg by Israeli troops, spoke to IMEMC.
They say we live in a democratic society, so attacking protesters is completely hypocritical, also by law, and, well, ethically, I mean, you don't shoot at protesters, you know, so... Well, so it was hurting a bit, but they gave me some morphine, and now they took the bullet out, and they put me on antibiotics.
Also on Friday, around 100 Palestinians from the village of Al-Hada, located near the southern West Bank city of Bethlehem, were joined by Israeli and international peace activists as they staged a demonstration against the illegal wall Israel is building on the village land. The demonstration started with the holding of Friday prayers at El Nashash, an Israeli checkpoint located at the entrance of the village. Shortly afterwards, demonstrators marched towards the checkpoint, where they were prevented from advancing any further due to a substantial presence of Israeli soldiers and military vehicles blockading the main road. Organisers from the Popular Committee of Land Defence in Al-Hada village delivered speeches in Arabic and English. The demonstration was then finished by local youths who burned tyres in protest on the road approaching the checkpoint. No clashes with the army were reported. For IMEMC.org, this is Mary Firth.
Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas accused the Israeli Defense Minister Ehud Barak of obstructing peace talks, while Hamas announced that they are not willing to give a free truce to Israel. This and more with IMEMC's Eliza Sprout.
Speaking from Gaza, Palestinian Prime Minister of the deposed Hamas government, Ismail Haniyeh, stated in a speech this week that the Israeli offensive on Gaza has failed and that his movement is not striving for a truce deal with Israel until their actions on Gaza and the West Bank cease. Also, the Hamas government spokesperson, Taher al-Nounou, held Israel responsible for escalation on the ground in the aftermath of the Israeli army assassination of five Palestinians in the West Bank cities of Bethlehem and Tel Karim on Wednesday. Meanwhile, Egypt has been involved in a series of talks with concerned parties over a possible halt to violence in the region. and opening of the Rafah terminal, the only passage for Gazans out of the coastal region. Egyptian efforts have been obstructed because of the escalation of violence, which may delay the visit of senior Egyptian official Omar Suleiman to Israel and Palestine, aimed at reaching a truce deal. For its part, Hamas demanded that Israel stops all its attacks and ends the siege on the Gaza Strip in order to reach a ceasefire. Fawzi Barhoum, spokesperson of Hamas, stated,
"The problem is with the Israeli occupation that is waging a full-scale war against our people. We hereby stress that we are not to give a free truce. The Israeli occupation must end all its aggression and violence and to end the Gaza siege to bring the suffering of our people to an end."
In the meantime, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas this week slammed what he termed Israeli ethnic cleansing of Palestinians in occupied East Jerusalem, following a recently announced Israeli plan to construct 400 housing units in the Arab city to be used by Jewish settlers. Meanwhile, in his meeting with senior Israeli strategist Amos Gilad and US envoy General William Fraser in Jerusalem, Palestinian Prime Minister Salam Fayyad said that freezing settlement activities means not putting one brick over the other. He accused Israel of not living up to its commitments under the US-backed roadmap, which demands that Israel freezes all settlement activities. In addition, Palestinian President Abbas accused the Israeli Defense Minister, Ehud Barak, of obstructing agreement between the two parties. Barak was quoted this week as dismissing any possibility of reaching an agreement with the Palestinians by the end of 2008. Israel's Foreign Minister, Tzipi Livni, echoed this position during a meeting with US Envoy, John James, in West Jerusalem this week. Livni told the US official that a Palestinian state is unlikely by the end of 2008 if Hamas stays in power in Gaza. Last November, Washington revived the stalled Palestinian-Israeli peace process on the basis of a two-state solution with both Palestinian and Israeli states living side by side in peace by the end of 2008. The European Union foreign minister discussed in Brussels this week possible involvement of Hamas in peace talks with Israel. The discussion came out with conflicting positions and no decision has yet been taken. Also this week, foreign policy chief of the EU, Xavier Solana, criticised Israel's planned settlement activities as unhelpful to peacemaking efforts underway. For IMEMC.org, this is Eliza Sprout.
Five Palestinians died in Gaza this week due to the continued Israeli attacks and siege on the Palestinian coastal region. From Gaza, IMEMC's Rami Al-Mughari with the details.
Two Palestinians have reportedly been killed in the Gaza Strip, one from wounds he sustained earlier during an Israeli army attack. Ayman Mansour, 25, of the central Gaza Strip village of Al-Zawaira, was pronounced dead on Wednesday morning after an explosive device went off as he was preparing it on Tuesday night. Also on Wednesday, medical sources announced that Arif Toghmush, in his 20s, from the Shadr refugee camp in central Gaza City, had died of wounds he sustained last week after the Israeli army shelled the Palestinian police station. The Israeli army carried out a series of deadly attacks on Gaza last week involving ground offensives, air strikes and tank shellings, claiming the lives of at least 125 Palestinians, many of them civilians. An elderly Palestinian woman died on Tuesday after succumbing to wounds she sustained last week during an Israeli air raid targeting her family home. Alia Al-Samari, 70, from Khan Yunis town, sustained multiple wounds when Israeli jet fighters fired several missiles at her son, Yusuf, outside their family home. His niece, a three-week-old baby, was also killed in the attack. In a similar story on Monday evening, a Palestinian man, Ala Atallah, 26, died of wounds he sustained last week when Israeli jet fighters shelled his family home in Gaza City. Atallah was sent to Egypt for treatment several days ago, but was pronounced dead on Monday evening. Six members of the Atallah family were killed in the attack. On Sunday night, medical sources in Gaza reported that another Palestinian patient joined those who have died while barred by the Israeli authorities from leaving the strip to receive a treatment. The death of Fatima Al-Makadma, an elderly woman from the Al-Burayd refugee camp, raised the death toll to 107. She had been suffering from cancer and had been prevented from leaving the strip to receive necessary medical treatment. The Gaza Strip was placed under total siege by the Israeli army 9 months ago. According to medical sources, among the 107 deceased Palestinians were children who are also barred from leaving the strip to receive medical treatment. Two Palestinian resistance fighters were injured at dawn on Saturday when an Israeli shell exploded near them outside of Gaza City. Palestinian medical sources said that a group of fighters were gathered outside of Gaza City when Israeli tanks stationed at the northern Gaza-Israel border opened fire on them, entering the two. For IMEMC.org, this is Rami Al-Mughari in Gaza.
This week, the Israeli army invaded the West Bank 47 times. During these invasions, Israeli troops killed 5 Palestinians and kidnapped 78 Palestinians, including 12 children. IMEMC's James Smith explains.
This week, the Israelis focused their invasion in the cities of Bethlehem, Tulkarem and Nablus. Among those kidnapped this week was the Palestinian journalist Hassan Abdul Jawad, 53, from Bethlehem. Abdul Jawad is a member of the executive committee of the Palestinian Journalists Association. This action brings the number of Palestinian civilians kidnapped by the Israeli army in the West Bank since the beginning of 2008 to 642. Palestinian sources reported that one Palestinian civilian was left injured in Jericho on Thursday. Suleiman Abdul Dahouk, 34, was injured after a landmine left by the Israeli army exploded near him. Medical sources said that the man sustained moderate wounds to his legs and was moved to a local hospital in Jericho City. On Wednesday, the Israeli army killed 5 Palestinians, 4 said to be members of the Islamic Jihad. On Wednesday evening, Mohammed Shahada, Imad al-Kamal, Issa Marzouk and Ahmed al-Balboul, all from Bethlehem, were ambushed by Israeli troops dressed in civilian clothes and driving a civilian car in a Bethlehem suburb, killing them instantly. Imad al-Kamal's father said that this attack shows that Israel does not want peace.
This is the nature of the Israeli army, very racist and very violent. This killing shows that Israel does not want peace.
Earlier on Wednesday, Salah Karkouk, 28, said to be a Palestinian resistance fighter, was killed by Israeli army fire when troops surrounded and demolished the house he was hiding in the village of Sidar, near northern West Bank city of Tulkarem. On Tuesday morning, Israeli military forces in the northern West Bank city of Jenin shut down the Al-Majd radio station, a Palestinian local station in the city. The Jenin-based station issued a statement to the press saying that Israeli military forces invaded the station, confiscated property and barred the main door. Later, forces issued a closure order to the station for 2 years. For IMEMC.org, this is James Smith.
And that's just some of the news this week in Palestine. For constant updates, check out our website www.imemc.org. Thanks for joining us. From Occupied Bethlehem, this is Ghassan Barnoura.
His name is always associated with Jenin. He was born and raised there. His home at the entrance of the refugee camp, a humble house, partly unfinished, is a centre of communication. He can track the atrocities of his camp by dates, names and numbers without resorting to a search engine or piles of archived articles. He was there too during a massacre of which he was a witness. Ali is a cameraman whose work is often used by Reuters. In Jenin, he is simply known as Ali the Journalist, and no one can convey the news in Jenin like Ali the Journalist. On September the 11th, 2001, Ali sustained serious wounds when an Israeli army tank, apparently agitated by this short, dark Palestinian journalist, documenting every move the Israeli army makes, decided to bring an end to it all. A tank shell was fired at Ali that kept him in hospital, dancing between life and death for 3 months. But Ali returned as he always does, carrying his camera in the dusty streets of Jenin, filming funerals, documenting massacres, and conveying realities that if it wasn't for his likes, would have been buried forever. Ali is young, in his early 30s, but it seems that his journey with his camera extends beyond years. He ran to the centre of the camp all alone, late at night, carrying a camera and an extra battery. He stayed in the camp for 6 days, enough to film almost every image we watched on television in the first week of the invasion, enough to witness the horror and to convey it. He was in the midst of battles, hearing the last whisper of freedom fighters as they fell defending the camp, recording the cries for help, watching the children crying over a sip of water. He thought that he wouldn't live to tell it all. He bitterly jokes about a rumour that the Israelis killed him during the shelling, a rumour that was circulated by the media and sparked a march by human rights activists and fellow journalists in Nazareth. He learned from the news that he was dead, but by then he was cut off from the outside world. Nearly a week later, he returned to his home. I reached my home between the camp and the town. My family was in miserable condition. My wife, who has diabetes, was wearing black. There I was, a dead man walking. But he survived, and his footage is sometimes the only reminder that there is a refugee camp called Jenin in which people continue to resist and die. But nothing can stand between Ali the journalist and his determination to carry the story of his tiny refugee camp. Ali is not interested in a Pulitzer Prize in journalism, nor does he care to learn what that is. His only hope is the story of his people's plight, and just struggle can reach the world. He walks through the streets of Jenin for hours every day to convey that story. He weeps in his colleagues' funerals. He helps carry the dead. He is often chased by military jeeps and tanks, but rarely does he put his camera down. I don't trust Ali's assurances that he will be okay, so I decided to write this tribute to him while he is still alive. Ramzi Baroud is a Palestinian journalist, editor-in-chief of Palestinian Chronicle. Source, Palestinian Chronicle.
My name is Ali Samoudi, from Jenin in West Bank in Palestine. I am a reporter with Al Jazeera TV in Qatar, and I am work another reporters and in the news in Al-Quds News paper in Palestine, and BNN website, and I am a cameraman with Reuters.
How long have you been a journalist?
20 years. I am now 40.
How does your work put you in danger?
Everything dangerous here because the occupation. Always we move, always we work to cover everything in Palestine. But you know, Jenin area is very hot always. They always problem with the Israeli and especially in this intifada. The Israeli, because we are Palestinian, they don't let us moving free. I work with Reuters, and Reuters, that mean it's very important media in the world. But the Israeli cannot understand that because I am Palestinian. But who's work with Reuters, Israelis, he can move, he can do any things, but because I am Palestinian, it's different. Everything here dangerous because the Israeli don't believe us journalists. They shoot me many times. They stand me many times. They beat me many times. And I am injured many times, but I am injured two times, one from shell and another from bullet, from snipers. They don't let me travel outside Palestine many times. I go to the court Israeli to ask him why. They said security. I use lawyer Israeli to continue that in the court, and after that they let me travel outside Palestine. They don't let me travel to Israel or to Jerusalem. They said that because security. Security that because I am Palestinian. I asked the Israeli many times, what's the meaning security? Always I am moving. When the Israeli come to city, I go to cover, to take the picture, to continue the news. I am following the soldiers, I am following the tanks, and I ride the truth. Okay, I am Palestinian, but I ride the truth. But they don't understand that. They believe any Palestinian, doctors, journalists, anything Palestinian. With me, a friend journalist, Israeli. They can come to visit me here, but they don't let me go to visit him in Jerusalem. In any step in our life, it's very dangerous because the occupation. In 2002, or before the Intifada, many times the Israeli stand me, beat me, don't let me move in the sheikh points. In this Intifada, they shoot me many times, but the important two times. One, you know, 11 September 2000 in the United States, in the same day in the when the explosion in America, In the same day, in the same times, the Israeli tanks attack Jenin camp. You understand me? Yes. Attack Jenin camp. I am with many journalists, and I use jacket and helmet, everything, and my camera. And I write here, you see, press and TV. And we go to Jenin camp to cover what happened. Suddenly, when I am work, the Israeli shoot bullets. I look to the area, my friend journalist suddenly disappeared. I am not see him. I am afraid about what happened to him. I go to see with my camera, with my thing. Suddenly, when I am work, the Israeli tank shot shell. You know shell? I am lucky because the shell explosion behind me, not beside me or here. It's behind me. When they explosion, I am flying as Superman. And all the people who look to these things, they believe I am dying. Yani. And I am, when I am in the sky, I believe I am dying. I am not looking to myself because I don't want to see the blood. I look to my camera. I see my camera in still in my hand. When I am do that, the Israeli send another shell, but it's far, not beside me. The first injured me, but the second they killed two. I am lucky because I am injured. They take me to, after I am injured, I am running about 100 meters. Because no people in the street, no ambulance, and I am shouting, I am injured, and help me, nobody. I am running about 100 meters to people come and take me to the hospital, and you see this picture. I am injured in my legs, and the big in my leg, but all my body, blood here, 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 here. I stay about 3 months. In the hospital, and about 6 months in my house, I can't work, I can't back to my office. This is the first time, and I believe the God gave me new life. The second time in April 2004, the Israeli special units attack car here in Jenin. Inside the car, one Palestinian wanted. I am no the Israeli attack car Palestinian. We cover, we take the picture, and the Israeli soldiers saw us here in the area. They don't let us go, move. You know, every time when we walk to war, when we go to work, we listen to the soldiers, and if they tell us the soldiers Israeli leave, we leave. We listen and we do what they want. Because if we don't do that, they shoot us, they arrest us, they beat us, they destroyed our camera. Because that, we listen to him. And Reuters tell us what the Israeli are doing, do that. Because, you know, it's dangerous to us if we don't listen to him. They saw us, the soldiers, the leader, the jeeps. We stay in the area about 20 minutes. Continue, take the picture. We can't go where they shot and they killed because it's close. But we continue to take the picture in the area. Suddenly, when we believe the situation is very dangerous, we decide go near the Jeep Israeli. You know the Jeep? We go to stay near the soldiers, not go to the near the Palestinian, because we won't continue. When I am walk, suddenly Israeli snipers take many houses. Suddenly I feel something is coming from here. I walk as this. I walk in the first. Suddenly he said to me, Ali, he want to talk something. I look. When I look, the bullets coming from here, go out from side here and here. If he not said Ali, the snipers, he won't shoot me here. But because he said, Ali, I look to him, it's coming from here and here and here. When I am injured, the Israeli don't let give me help. You know, the jib far about me 5 meters, and unbalanced Israeli 5 meters, but unbalanced Palestinian it's about 200 meters. When I'm injured, my friends, he shouting to the soldiers, please help us, Ali injured. They don't listen, they don't care, and I am running with the blood 200 meters to ambulance, and I am shouting, I am dying. In this intifada, I see many persons injured, not here, in another places, and die. And now I see all my clothes is the blood, or I live about 2 hours. I believe I am dying in any time, and I am shouting in the way to hospital, I am dying, I am dying. I live inside this situation, and I am not believe I can't back to the life. This accident is very, very horrible to me, because they shoot me with nothing. They saw me, they know me. You must know the soldiers and the leader Israeli in the area, they know me. They know I am Ali Samoudi, I am work with Al Jazeera, daughter. Always when the Israeli are moving in the area, they saw me. And all the leader area Israeli, they know me. But they shoot me because I am Palestinian. This the 2 times is very important to me in Jerb. And after that, they don't let me, I tell you, travel outside Palestine many times. But I go to court and they decide, yes, you can travel outside Palestine, but inside Israel, you can't travel. And this point is very bad for my work, because I am journalist, because we here invite and we help the journalist Israeli. Many friend journalists Israeli come here to make some things, report, film. We help him. We protect him. We give him everything. We invite him to our office, to our house. But the Israeli don't let us move inside Israel. They don't let us go to Jerusalem, to my office, to work.
To get the story, you have to be in danger. So to do your work, do you have to be in danger?
Always when I am work, I am feeling I am under danger, always, always, because I feel in any times maybe soldiers stupid or hate Palestinian, maybe he do something. You know, when the soldiers tell us come, and when they ask us who are you, we try, or me and all the journalists, we tell him we work with Reuters, we work with AB, we work with Al Jazeera. Don't the first tell him we are Palestinian. We try to don't tell him we are Palestinian, because maybe he angry. Maybe he hate the Palestinian. You know, we always work under the dangers. I hope sometimes the work without dangerous. When I go to checkpoints, I am always afraid. When I go to from city to city, always I am afraid. The camera not protect me. Nothing protect me. Nothing. Under the occupation, you can't feel you are under protect. Always you are ready to dangerous.
Who is your audience? Who do you report for? I mean, the people that see your work, who are they?
In the newspaper, the Palestinian, this newspaper, the first the Palestinian, and the Israeli care about Al-Quds newspaper. In the website PNN, the Palestinian, and the Arab, and the Israeli care. And in Al Jazeera, all the world look to Al Jazeera. And as Reuters, who's looked to my picture all the world. The connection always, because, example, when I talk with Al Jazeera, all the people watch me. Some people, they said some notice, it's good, you see the truth, you must make report. And always the people talk to me about the newspaper. They give me notice, they give me news, they continue. An example, if somebody give me news today and he don't read that next day, he call me, why not, when, what happened. I believe the connection open with the people because I work in the very important media, to not only to the people, to the world. They listen, they read my news, they listen and watch my news, they look to my picture. That's mean the word. Because all the people took it from picture from Reuters, all the people yani, listen to the news, to Al Jazeera, and they watch, they continue everything about Al Jazeera.
People here in Jenin, do you feel a connection with them? What do you report or write for them?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Yes. Always, when I write about the situation, because I am inside the situation, inside the news, and I covering everything, not only the politica, not only the occupation, the many things.
Does the stresses of your job, like the difficulties,
yes,
the problems of your job, how does that affect your family?
It's difficult to my family because I tell my family we go to visit, example, Nablus. Mm-hmm. In the day, oh my God, the Israeli are coming. And there's some things. I'm sorry, I can't. My family pay the price.
Say to you when you say no, sorry.
And the first day angry, very angry, and always the angry. Mm. But sometimes, yani, from times to times, they understand. That's it.
Yeah.
But many times they problem.
Has the work affected your health in the long term? Not just being shot, but over a long term.
I believe my health is, you're under the brush.
Pressure.
Yani, that's, you always we see blood, always we see shot, always we under the children, women, always our life in dangerous. Always I think, oh my, maybe they shoot me, maybe they beat me, maybe they take my camera. This, my health, bear this price, my health. And many times I am sick because the situation, many times. The health is not good because this job.
Have you ever been pressured to change your stories by anyone? Something, for example, and someone has said you can't publish that. Has that ever happened to you?
You mean, yani, if I write some things,
yeah,
somebody said to me, "Don't write," or
"Don't write this."
No, nobody. Always, I write the truth. Mm-hmm. Yani, example, if the Israeli kill one Palestinian, I listen to the who watched that, and if he would organization, mm-hmm, I ask the organization what they said, and many times the Israeli spoke in the soldiers Israeli. He give us information. We put all that and we said, Muhammad Hassan, example, 20 years from Jenin, he's leader of Jihad al-Islami. The Israeli killed him, special units attack him in Jenin, na 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 na. And we said, الجهاد الإسلامي said we continue fight Israel, but the soldiers Israeli said they kill him because he's yes, he behind many operations inside Israel. Maybe some Palestinian don't like talk about what the Israeli said. This my job. Must I said to the world the truth. And every people, they look, the pictures talk. When I take the picture, you can look. Nobody can change
anything.
But always, I don't let any person to push me or to order me or to change. Always, I say the truth. Because that, you look, I work with the very important media in the Palestine or the world. In Reuters, you can't say anything. One thing's the truth. Al Jazeera true. Al Quds newspaper true. Because if I said another things, it's bad to me, to my work, to my letter, and I lose everything. If some Palestinian die, nobody knows. And any organization said, okay, the Israeli kill him. And my information, no, nothing clear. I am not say that. I said Palestinian killed, nobody knows why. Maybe another journalist said, okay, he's fighters, he from Ramam, but this not my business. Only one thing. I say, right, and filming the truth. When the Israeli shot me, why? Because I tell you, they know me.
Yeah.
And many demonstration, when demonstration dear Jenin, when the journalist go, I am not go, the soldiers ask where Ali Samoudi. They know me. And when they shot me, they know me. I am Ali Samoudi. I am reporter Al Jazeera and cameraman with Reuters. They know me. Why? Because they don't let me take the picture. The picture is very important. Because that they want to stop me.
And have they ever tried to take your tapes when you filmed something?
Yes.
Have the Israelis ever said, give us your tape. We want your tape.
Yes. Many times when we are, the demonstration, look, always the Israeli look to us when we come, they believe we are... till the people go to the administration, or it's not true. We come to take the picture. Yani one day when we take the picture, the soldiers come when he know our Palestinian. He said, "Oh, you only take when we are shot. You not take the picture when the Palestinian when they throw stone." I tell him, "No, it's not true. I take the picture to the Palestinian when they throw stones, and if they shoot, I take the picture, and I take your picture. I am here not a Palestinian, I am here cameraman." But they don't believe us. Because they know we are Palestinian, that's it. Yani, I don't know what we can do to change. I don't know why they can't believe. I don't know.
How does your wife deal with your work?
Always a problem. Always a problem.
Does she sleep at night? Is she really afraid?
Always afraid, always worried, always fighting. And especially when I go under operation, she's very, very angry. And because many times, when I am injured, the news go to him, I am die. When I am shot here, the people, nobody believe I am still in the life. Two times, in the camp in Jenin, nobody look to me, he believe I am back to the life. I believe my life, all my family is miserable. It's very miserable. Yes, miserable. Always I tell him not worried, I am not good to the dangerous, I am work slowly, but this is my work. Mm-hmm. This is my work.
Mm-hmm.
if I said, yani if I tell him I am not go, they know after that I am go, because they saw me in Al Jazeera, they listened to me in the radio, they saw my picture. This is my work, this is my life. No life to me if I am not work. This is my work, this is my life. They said from things, but when they go to the people and they listen to the people, Ali, 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 I am famous. Sometimes they is happy, but always they want from me stop and go to another work, change my work.
Yeah.
But I believe, no, I can't. The camera and the pen and the computer.
When you've had problems working as a journalist, when you've been in danger, have any groups tried to help you?
Nobody helped me.
Nobody helped you? Trade union? Do you have a syndicate, a workers' syndicate?
What?
A journalists' union?
Journalists' union, you mean?
When you were hurt.
When I am hurt?
Yeah, did a...
When they injured me. Nobody helped me, only Reuters, because I work with Reuters, and Al Jazeera, but no, nobody. At the Palestinian Union, only he called me and said, how are you, that's it. And look, the first time, I want go to Israel to make operation, or to Jordan, they don't let me travel. Nobody, no. At the world, they said, nobody said, we very angry because they injured Ali Samoudi. Only News Al Quds, Bibar, Jazeera, Reuters. But I believe another union, nobody care about what happened with us. At now, the Palestinian journalist, my friend, they call me, okay? But that's in Ramallah, Naim Tobasi, if you know him. He's in the union to Palestinian. He not do anything. Only he talk in the telephone, okay, we feel with you. But he not move active to stand near the journalist Palestinian. Help me with
when you're hurt, when you're in danger. Who does help you? Just Reuters?
Reuters and Al Jazeera. That's it.
No Palestinian organization?
No Palestinian organization, no.
What about other journalists? Do they help you?
They feel with me.
Yeah.
Good life, we with you, you are strong. What they don't do any things.
So international organizations, any help?
No.
So you're alone?
Yes. I am alone, but I am happy because the people love me and respect me and feel with me. You know, when I'm in the hospital, all the people come to visit me. All the people. Children, women. The children, the woman before the man. It's very important to me.
The people that help you,
yes, the
people that read your newspaper, listen to your radio.
Yes.
This is where you get support. Thank you very much.
And welcome.
Speaking with Ali Samoudi. Welcome. In Geneva.
الحديد انقطع من روحه. وعلينا سياج وهالبيت العمران.